Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, saints. I am Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the matter, along with...
Hi, this good morning. This is Tabika Garnes, your co-host for today.
Amen, amen. We are so happy to be here with you today and pray that you will call a friend, call a neighbor, call a relative, call somebody, and give them this number, 657-383-0982, and tell them there's an awesome show that they need to hear, and that is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Good morning to Tamika Shelton, to her mom Joyce, praise be unto God, to Deacon Thomas Farr, to Prophetess Dorn, to Prophetess Kim, to Prophet and Minister Crawford, to Isaiah in Chicago, to my nephew Josh in Pennsylvania, to so many people all over the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. For Joyce in New York, praise be unto God. Thank you so much for joining in. We are so glad to have you here with us this morning. And, and let me say this to Joyce real quick, Joyce in New York. I see that you have the one pressed on your phone. And when you press it and you don't want to be in the conversation, I never know when to plug you in, to pull you in so you can say something or not. I'm going to open your line real quick so that you can say something, and then we put you back on mute because I'm trying to figure out how to get the indication off that you want to talk. So let me do that even before we go into prayer. Just let me do that real quick.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, love. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I found out I'm a grandmother again, but I wasn't too sure the DNA came through, so now I have 5 grandchildren.
Oh, bless you. Congratulations. Congratulations on the on this awesome resurrection weekend. Bless your heart. Amen. Amen. And listen, I don't know if you understood what I was saying. I get an indication, of course, every time you press one, it's an indication, and that's what lets me know that a person wants to speak. So when you press one and you don't want to speak, I never know when to put you in. That's it. So don't press one from here on out until it's a time where you want to actually speak, okay?
All right.
Yes, and that way I can tell who it is that's, trying to get through and hold a conversation. But again, congratulations to you, and I hope you have an awesome weekend during this resurrection weekend, and that goes out to everyone that's here online. Amen. And Joyce, was there anything else you wanted to say, honey, before we pray?
Well, just I love the service. I try never to miss the service. It's wonderful, and I'm trying to get out there where you at soon.
Awesome. Awesome. Wonderful. We'll be glad to have you. So glad to have you out here. Amen. 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 All right, darling, I'm going on so we can go in prayer. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. excuse me. We're going to open in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We love you, Lord God. We love you. We love you, Father God. We love you. There is no one like you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, as you woke us up and gave us this opportunity to be with you today, Lord God, to share with one another, to be able to show the love of God wherever it is we go, whatever it is we do. Lord, I pray for every person that will call in this morning, those that have already called in, those that are yet to call in. I pray for every single one of them. Everything that they need, Lord God, let it be met in the name of Jesus. Those that are broken, Father, heal them. Those that are sick, heal them. Those, oh God, that need to be delivered, heal them, Lord God. Lord, do this so that you would be glorified and man, Lord God, man would receive the blessing of the Lord. Satan would be horrified, Father God, that you stepped in on the scene. Lord, I thank you for those that are attached to us, oh God, for those that are attached to us, that the prayers that we pray go out for them as well. I ask for forgiveness for any sins that we have committed, whether they be in word, thought, or deed. And as you forgive us, Lord God, may we who have been made in your image, may we also forgive those who have come against us. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for my sister that's co-hosting with me. I thank you, Lord God, how you bound us together with cords that cannot be broken. And even, Lord God, our regular callers, oh God, there is a love there that also has bound us together. Father, I thank you for this day, for truly it is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 Well, beloved, 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 how are you today?
Good morning.
And I'm
talking.
Awesome. Yes, I was talking to you, sweetheart. What did you say?
I am awesome. I'm glad to be alive. God kept me throughout the night, and, you know, I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You're grateful for that. To God be the glory. And and talking about how God took us through the night, you know, I like to mention at times there are people who wish they didn't make it through the night. And for them, on one side and me on the other side, in the spirit, we're holding up their arms and telling them to hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just hang in there another day. Another day. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, besides what it is we want to share this morning, is there anything else that's on your heart that you would like to do? Anyone in particular you would like to give a shout out to?
No, ma'am. Just our callers. Again, I just want to, you know, continue to say thank you for the time that you give up to be with us on Saturdays. I know maybe many of you work throughout the week, and, you know, Saturdays is that day where you're like, exhale and put your feet up and just unwind from the week. And you could have stayed asleep, but you decided to wake up and dial in. So we are very, very, very happy that you decide to join us on every Saturday. We do not take your presence for granted. We don't take your presence for granted. So we just want to give, you know, you guys a big shout out, because if it wasn't for you all, you know, not that we would be doing this in vain, because somebody would be able to go back and listen to it later. But you guys, you basically support us. So we just want to say thank you.
Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And Prophetess Kim, would you press 1 on your keypad, please? Press 1 on your keypad. Amen. And I'm saying, okay, yes, there she is. Let me. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. I just wanted to tell you personally that when you spoke last week, I believe it was last week, when you shared with us that one of our listeners, one of our most faithful listeners, immediately went on to, what is it, Amazon, I guess it was, and ordered your book.
Yes.
Immediately.
Praise God.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
And I know I will be getting my copy of the book. Just had so many things going on that I didn't take the time to sit down and order it, but I will be getting it as well. And so I'm going to give you this moment. Again, just tell us the name of the book and the general theme of the book. So maybe someone else, but you did get a sale from, yes, you know, from last week, from being on this line. So go ahead and tell us real quick what your book name is and, you know, the theme of it, please.
Amen. It is, the title is There Will Be Glory After This, and it is on Amazon. The cost is $12, and it is basically my story. After being married 17 years, I found myself in a domestic violence situation. And this book just outlines a lot of what I journaled. During that period, I was journaling as legal documentation in case I had to go to court or in case something happened to me. And God allowed me to take my experience and turn it into a book. So I'm sharing very personal things that happened in my life during that time. But it's a story of not just the domestic violence piece. My prayer and my desire as I wrote it is that even if it's not a domestic violence situation you're facing, that this story will encourage people to know that God can get you through any storm, any dark time, anything that seems impossible. This was a story of forgiveness. It's a story of healing, a story of restoration. And I just thank God that he allowed me, because it's a testimony. And it just shares that even in the midst of dark times, how God keeps us and will go any situation.
Excuse me for one moment. I cannot hear you, and I'm sure everybody else can. That's the way it works for me. So, Tabika, if you can hear me, I need you to control the board if you're on the board right now. I need you to control the board because right now I cannot hear anything.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I can hear you, and I can hear Prophetess Kim.
Amen. So that's basically the gist of the story. I just summarized that period. It's a testimony. And I'll just share, and I'll turn it back over to you. My son is actually reading the book. My son, of course, lived with us. I mean, we went through it together. But there were things he didn't even know, and he texted me the other day, and he said, wow, Mommy, I had to keep stopping because he said it's so overwhelming when he looked back on how crazy our lives were. And when we look at where we are now, it's a true testament of my personal fact that I know God is real. So I pray that it encourages anybody who orders the book that you will see that God is real, that God can do anything but fail. So that's my desire, and that is my prayer. So, again, it's There Will Be Glory After This, and it's on Amazon for $12. And I pray that it is a blessing to you. And I turn it back over to you, Apostle. And thank you for the opportunity to share.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for sharing. We all know that when one shares their testimony, you know, what comes out of that, you know, what freedom is given to someone else. So it's always a blessing when others share their testimony, because remember, when somebody is in something, you know, they always think that they're the only ones that's going through it. So when we share our testimony, it gives them hope to know that, you know, okay, they went through that, they got out, you know, they were able to deal with what they dealt with, and, you know, it gives them hope and strength that they are able to do the same thing. So thank you so much for sharing, even and putting it in a book, you know, so people can go back and read it for themselves and just be able to meditate on, you know, what somebody else went through and what God did for them. So thank you. Amen. Apostle, amen. Can you hear us now?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much, beloved. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Can
okay.
You hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Okay. Tabika, speak to me one more time, sweetheart, because right now I have dead air again.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I think I hear something. Tabika?
Yes.
Yes, beloved. I can. I can.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Amen. I don't know what this is. Y'all pray for me and my phone, because it just makes no sense that I go through this kind of trouble all the time. And this phone here is only several months old. I had to replace the last one. And this one is acting up. But anyway, listen, let's go ahead and at least open the door for what it is we wanted to talk about. And I don't hear you. Yeah, if I don't hear you, I'll let you know, because I know y'all can hear me. And Tabika, you'll just have to run with it, okay?
Okay.
All righty. So listen, beloved, listen. Yesterday I got some videos about what happened at the Potter's house. This morning I wake up to my phone lit up by several people who had sent me the information on this, and like, did you see what happened, and so forth. And so I want to share this. I wish I could share the video with you right now. Of course I can't, but Minister Tabika and I are going to talk about what it is that's on these videos, and sharing with one of my friends last night about it, he said it is best to learn from an experience keeper, to learn from the experience through observation, than it is being in the experience and having to go through the operation. I mean, going through the learning thing. So what all that meant was the fact that what we're about to share with you, there are definitely some tips that we can take from this matter and that we can learn from. And Prophetess, thank you for sending it to me. Thank you so much for sending it to me. And this is something that we as leaders in the church, that we can learn, and it's cheaper for us to learn through this experience than it would have been if this had happened to us. And it ends up costing us not only financially, but costing us, you know, membership-wise, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, there's a heavy price that's going to be paid and is being paid because of this incident. I'm going to ask Lady or Minister Tabika to tell us what the incident is about. I'm going to ask her to tell us what the incident is about. If you would please go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. So what I saw was a video of a young lady that was a minister, or she did the welcome on Sunday mornings. And she said that she did her welcome like she always does. And when she was done, she was walking off the pulpit, and the security guard said to her, "I need to talk to you." And so they took her in this, in the office, and it was the security guard and the elder, one of the elders of the church. So immediately at this time, this is when her phone came on. She said that at that point she knew to turn her video on. So she began to capture the conversation of what was going on. And she said that basically they told her that she wasn't supposed to be on the pulpit. She wasn't supposed to be given, she wasn't supposed to do the welcome anymore because she had been set down by the production manager. And she went on to say, I spoke with the production manager. He told me that he wasn't the one that set me down. He said that the elder, that the there was an elder, a woman, in the room. And she said to her, you were the one that set me down for no reason because one of the elder's friends does not like her, does not like the young lady that was in this, the victim in this incident. So she had said that she talked to First Lady, the pastor's wife. She had spoken to her about being set down, and First Lady said she had no knowledge of her supposedly being set down. At that point, the elder basically said, you know, we're not having a meeting. We don't need to have a meeting. Why would you call First Lady about this, about it? And, you know, the young lady was basically saying, well, why couldn't I call First Lady? She said, that's my right. I have the right to call First Lady about this situation. And so the elder was getting, you know, impatient with her. And she was, like, in her face, and her hands were in her face. And the young lady was like, why are you being impatient with me? I'm just trying to figure out what's going on because you set me down. But then you said that the production manager set me down. But when I talked to him, he said that it wasn't him. You know, he didn't have any reason to set me down. And I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. And so then the situation began to, go differently. It began to get loud in
hello.
The room. So then the security, hello?
Speaker?
Yes?
I am so sorry, sweetie. My phone came off mute and I heard it happen. But
okay.
I can't hear you in case you don't know.
Oh, okay. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. Put me back
Thank
on
you.
Mute, please.
Yes, ma'am. And so the situation began to get loud. Security guard said he stepped in. He began to, you know, speak to her, and all you heard was all the voices going on in the room, you know, all the voices, a lot of people talking. And then the security guard proceeds to put his hands on her, and you could hear her say, you know, she was saying his name, and she said, you push me. You really gonna put your hands on me? And he said, yeah, I'm gonna put my hands on you. Listen, or something. And she was like, okay, well, I'm trying to leave. And so you could see her trying to leave the room, and he basically was closing the door on her, telling her that she was not going to leave. And so she kept saying, I'm trying to leave. I'm trying to leave. Would you please let me go? And then you could see where she was tackled to the floor by the security guard. And she's screaming at this point. She's screaming the security guard's name, telling him, you know, asking him, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? I'm trying to leave. I'm trying to leave. And basically, like, get off of me. I'm trying to leave. But you could see that she was on the floor. And so then you could see where the police came, and I guess they put her in handcuffs because I heard her say, well, why are you cuffing me? You know, why are you putting me in handcuffs? I did not do anything. And so for a little bit they sat there. They still were going back and forth. The police wanted to hear the side of the elder and the security guard. And, you know, she was quiet for a little while, and then she began to speak again, and she was asking, could the police take the cuffs off of her because she did not want to go outside in handcuffs like she was a criminal, you know, like she really did something wrong. So at that point, she was asking, you know, where her purse was, asking somebody to go get her purse so that she could leave. And they did let her go. And I'm guessing when she got home or maybe the next day, she shared the video with Facebook or something, and she was home and her mother was there. She spoke about what actually happened on Facebook Live. Her mother spoke, you know, talking about, you know, what actually took place and how disappointed she was in the ministry. And she gave a brief background about her daughter, saying that the mother went to that church because her daughter was basically out there in the world at the age of 14, getting high, doing whatever. The young lady said that she came in the church looking like a dyke, but, you know, now she looks like looks like a female now. And that those were her words. And she said the church had really, really helped her, you know, but then it seemed like once she got herself together or she was able to do this welcome ministry, you know, being on a pulpit, they began to change toward her. And she kept saying they had their foot on her neck, not physically, but like spiritually, like they were trying to stop her from doing this ministry because somebody else did not like her. So I'm going to turn it back over to Apostle Banks now.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. So as you can hear with what Minister Tabika is saying, is that this is an incident that totally, totally got out of hand. From the elder to the security guard to the young lady that was speaking to anyone else that was in that room, it totally got out of hand. And when I say to you now, mind you, I told you a lot of people sent me information about this, and the one that amazed me the most came from my granddaughter, who is at work this morning, and she sent me the clip and said, Grandma, did you hear what happened at the Potter's House, T.D. Jakes Ministry? She said, I'm shocked. And then she said, I'm appalled. And my mouth is still wide open. I can't believe this happened. Now, what I was shocked about was the fact that my granddaughter does not have social media. And if it was in any newspaper, it wasn't in a newspaper here right now that I know of. I haven't seen it. I didn't look for it in a newspaper. So I asked her, how did you hear about this? And people on her job that have social media shared it with her. And they you know, shared the information with her, and then she sent it to me. Shocked. Let me pull out one of the first thing is, you notice that it's in the media, when they talked about it online, the first thing is T.D. Jakes Ministry. T.D. Jakes Ministry. Come after the head of the ministry. Come after the head of the church. Let me make it clear that this did not happen in his primary church where he preaches, in Dallas. This happened in Fort Worth, Texas, where someone else is the pastor of the church, but it is definitely an offshoot of the Potter's House. So it's Potter's House, Fort Worth, Potter's House, Dallas. And, of course, because T.D. Jakes is the overseer of all of his ministries, you know that T.D. Jakes, people won't know or don't know, I think it's Pastor Winfield, I'm not sure, I can't remember right now, they don't know him worldwide as T.D. Jakes is known worldwide. So naturally you're going to get more publicity, more media attention when you point out that it is T.D. Jakes' ministry. So that's one of the things, first and foremost. And also, listen, those of you that are online here that have seen the video, seeing it on your Facebook, whatever the case may be, please do not hesitate to press 1 on your keypad and chime in and share. And like I said, I want to, along with Minister Tabika, Prophetess Born, whomever else, I want us to sit down and take this video apart and pull out every teaching aspect that we can, the do's and the don'ts of it, because it is a wonderful opportunity to learn. No matter how big your church is, no matter how small your church is, you know, this happens all over the world. This type of stuff happens in our churches. It was pointed out that the security may need to be retrained. That was one of the things in the letter, that the apology that was written. They may have to go back and look at their policy on security, on their training, and so forth. So they have to look at that. Let me ask Tabika, and then we'll continue on. Baby, what did you see as the first problem with that whole thing? What did you see that was wrong?
Well, the elder, in my opinion, did not handle it in the correct manner. And she let it escalate to that point where it shouldn't even have gotten there. You know, people that hold positions in the church and they have titles, you know, I think that was, this was even said to the young lady, said that people with titles, she mentioned people having titles, and basically let that thing go to their head because they got a title, but they don't really operate in the way that they're supposed to operate in that title. So the elder allowing that to escalate that bad was wrong. Even, you know, when it got to the point where she, the young lady was on the floor, the elder should have stepped in it. First of all, the young lady should have never gotten to the floor, because it wasn't like she was being combative. But the elder should have stepped in, said something to that security guard, and told him, you know, take your hands off of her, don't touch her, just let her leave. That's why it escalated, because they would not let her leave. Had she have left, had they had let her leave, that portion of her being on the floor and all that would have never occurred. Now, you know, now they set themselves up for a lawsuit.
Absolutely. A lawsuit, a criminal charges, because that could be counted as assault, you know, that he assaulted her. She's got bruises and so forth. And so there's a lot that will come out, you know, about this criminally being irresponsible. I think the whole thing started with, first of all, I thought it was very foolish to pull her as soon as she walked out of the pulpit. As soon as she came down, they pulled her and said, come, let's go in the office. I want to talk with you. First of all, that conversation should not have taken place at that time. Totally should not have taken place at that time. The other thing, let's go back even before that. The young lady says that the elder was the one who sat her down. Luis is the head of that ministry, and the production ministry, and this young lady is the head of the welcome committee that verbally welcomes the people, you know, Sunday morning during service. Now, the elder has a friend who dislikes this young lady, and the young lady is saying that is the reason she got sat down, because this other woman disliked her. But the point is, before the young lady went on stage, she did not know that she was sat down. The elder had told Luis and whoever else she told that Audrey can't go up on stage and do what she does, but nobody told Audrey. So that was the first, that chain of command, the communication protocol, all of that was broken when she told Luis, who would be the head of the production, Luis should have told Audrey, the girl that went up there, or the elder should have told Audrey. But once the elder told Luis, Luis should have told the young lady. The young lady was totally unaware that somebody had sat her down. And I have never seen, and don't ever want to see it again, somebody being sat down without them having knowledge of it. Normally, the correct thing to do is if there's something that is wrong, you speak with that person, you give them a warning, let them continue on in their ministry, and if they do it again, you have forewarned them, you know, then you pull them up, then you sit them down. You know, you just don't hold that discussion with everybody else, and you and the ministerial team know that the person is sat down, and the person doesn't know that they are. That makes no sense whatsoever. So going from the fact that she did not know, and then as soon as she finishes, you pull her off into a side room. Now, on the video, we find out that the young lady is 21 years old, and these people, the elder and the guard, the security guard, all of these folks are older folks, and should have known better. They should have known better. And the fact that she's 21, yes, she's a grown woman, but she's still, compared to that elder, she still is a child. And again, you're taking her and holding her in that room against her will at some point, because at first, you know, as long as we're here, she's, you know, telling the elder, you know, that she ended up contacting the first lady, and that is the pastor's wife of that particular church, not T.D. Jakes's wife, pastor of this church. What was interesting when she mentioned about the titles and all, this woman says, after the young girl tells her, the first lady said, we will have a meeting on Wednesday, so we can talk about this on Wednesday, point blank. And the elder said, no, we're not. No, we're not. I am the church administrator, and if I shut something down, it's shut down. So she totally usurped authority over the first lady of the church by telling her, we are not going to meet. I shut it down. It's shut down. And I feel that she said that probably, I mean, that's what was in her heart. But she also said that, I think, out of her frustration, because she was being challenged by the young lady and by going, the woman went to the head of the church. So her pride was hurt at that point in time. So you go from there to them arguing back and forth, and then the young lady wants to leave, and now the security guard steps in. And he's a big dude. If you see the video, he's a big dude. He's a big guy. And then so he steps in, and when the young lady says, I want to leave, he's like, no, you're going to stay here because I'm going to tell you, you know, what's going on here. Well, look, I want out. Let me out of this room. And they did not do that. They could have escorted her to the door. First of all this yelling and screaming going on in this room, praise and worship was still going on, but anybody could have been coming down the hall hearing this stuff going on in the church and saying to God, that was not the place or the time to handle that type of situation. They could have taken her outside, got her purse that she asked for, and let this young woman go. And the mess that we're dealing with now would not have been as bad as it is But now that you got a man putting his hands on this woman, slamming her into the floor, and so forth, you got a mess going on. I was reading comments of other people while I was looking at the video, and of course, one of the first things you see, people say, that's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't go to church, because the church is full of demons, it's full of hypocrites, you know, people using their titles to do this, that, and the other, and it's a mess. It is a mess. And T.D. Jakes' ministry under that pastor, this pastor here, this young girl's life was turned around. She went from looking like a dyke to looking like a young lady, and to the point that within a year's time, they were letting her do the announcement from the pulpit. So it was obvious that there was a great change in her life, and she is looking for the men and women of God to act like men and women of God. And this whole episode was as ungodly as you can get, was as ungodly as you can get. So, yes, so now there's a big mess, a lawsuit, criminal charges, and God knows, and of course, T.D. Jakes' name is being slandered in this whole thing simply because it's his ministry. And listen, when we are the head of a ministry, whatever goes on in that ministry, it comes back and it lands at our feet. We have to take charge for that. We are blamed for it, and we have to take responsibility for it because it's our ministry. And so there's just so much. There is just so much in dealing with this. There's so much in dealing with it. And, of course, you know, I pray that we never see an incident like this at New Vision, whether we are this size or grow, you know, to double in our ministry, which is definitely a prayer for us. I don't want to ever see anything like this. So needless to say, I will be showing our leadership. I will be showing them the video. I want us to pull it apart and say, okay, what do we see here? How would we have done things differently? This is a chance for us to learn from someone else's experience versus us being in that same situation. Folks, listen, this is Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And today we are discussing the incident that happened at the Potter's House. If you are already on this line and you have comment, please press 1 on your keypad and share what your thoughts are, especially if you have seen the tape, because I know a lot of people on here didn't see it. They, you know, so they're not aware of it as much as those of us have seen it. But if you have seen it and you've got a comment, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. Those of you that are listening online and you would like to say something, please go to 657-383-0982. Please go to that, telephone number, and call us and share your thoughts. Share your thoughts with us. Amen, amen. I see we had some new, when I say new, the people that just came on the line. So for those of you, again, we are discussing the incident that happened at the Potter's House. If you have Facebook, you can go on Facebook and see what had happened, at least hear the comments about what has happened. But a young lady held against her will in an office at the ministry, security guard looking like he weighs about 400 pounds, basically slammed her in the floor, handcuffed her, you know, yelling and screaming going on. Just things got completely out of hand, and it was a total mess. It was a total mess. So we were just looking at these things going on and seeing what we could pull out of this and letting it be a learning experience that we don't mess up the same way that they messed up. And they definitely messed up. They definitely messed up. Minister Garnes, is there anything that you, anything else, darling, that you would like to point out?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say as leaders, you know, we not only need the spiritual training, we also need training as far as how to handle situation when things like this arise. Because, you know, not only do things arise in big ministries, they also arise in small ministries. So we know that it only takes a matter of minutes for something to go the wrong way. And I'm sure those people that were involved are probably now thinking we should have handled that differently. Because the enemy is present in situations, you know, especially when situations that can become offensive. He's right there in the midst of it, and he's watching. And if we don't learn to get our flesh under control, we will find ourselves in similar situations like this. Our flesh cannot, you know, play a part in decisions that we make because people look at us as Christians and they put us on this platform. We, you know, can do no wrong. I'm not condoning nothing that happened. I truly believe they were wrong in everything that they did. They were wrong in the way they handled this young lady. And for the fact that she wasn't, she still was newly, you know, in her salvation, turning her life around. And we need to pray that this situation will not turn her heart towards God, because when people see Christians, they attach us to God, which they should. But then when we mess up, they turn against God, and it should not be that way because we messed up. When we're genuine in who we are, when we're transparent in who we are, when we share our testimonies, these are the things we need to let people to see. Let people see that we still go through stuff. But when we get to a certain status, we try to hide stuff that we go through because we don't want people to it's always the appearance of what people think. And when we get to a certain status, we try to hide stuff because we don't want people to know that we still deal with something, or, you know, we're sad for a day, you know, something like that. We have to be realistic in the things that we're going through, because, again, people need to see transparency, and we don't want people to keep turning their back on God because of something that we did. So we just need to pray that this young lady does not turn her heart towards God and does not go back to what she came out of because of this situation. Apostle, it looks like we have a caller that wants to speak.
Yes. Go ahead, caller. 4831. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Apostle. This is Prophet Crawford.
Amen, amen. I thought so. God bless you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, good morning. You know, I have to agree with what Minister Tamika was saying, but to me it goes a step further than that. It's not just that she wouldn't turn her heart against God. It's people that are wavering about committing to God and having that personal relationship, and then all of a sudden they see something like this happen, and it hardens their heart, and it causes bitterness and resentment in them. We as Christians are supposed to walk in love, and not our love, God's love. And God's love is forever forgiving. Every one of us on this call and every person that would hear about God has been through countless things, and God has forgiven us over and over and over again. Why would we not allow a situation to happen, and we find God's love and how to deal with that instead of allowing our emotions or allowing the feelings and allowing the circumstance at hand to dictate what our actions are. God's love should be able to be that thing that's dictating to us how we handle every situation. And yes, I hope and pray that this woman does not turn her heart against God, but I also hope and pray that those that may have been looking to join the ministry, or those that have been looking to come into a relationship with God, that they don't use this as a reason or as their example, as their excuse why they're not going to give their heart to God. Well, why should I commit to God? Look at how they're acting. Look at how they treat people. And I know, I can remember when I was growing up and I would see scandal after scandal about the ministry and about ministries and preachers. And my thought was that same thing. Well, why do I want to have any part of that? You know, I can live just the same, if not better, without committing to God than I can committing to God. And that's not actually true. You know, we all have learned that since then. We realize that that's not true. But right now, you know, this situation, and it's a shame, but when you start looking at what's going on, you realize that God has a way of exposing every weakness in every ministry. And if that ministry has been through something and they understand or they recognize that there's a weakness in their ministry, that there's a crack in that foundation somewhere, if they don't deal with it themselves, then God will find a way of exposing that. Every ministry. Mm-hmm. And this should be a warning and a wake-up to every ministry, to every church, to every believer, that they need to make sure that they're living their life right. Because if they think that they can play the fence and walk that, no, they can't. You're either, and we all know this, the word says that you're either going to be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out.
Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 And this, everything that he said, everything that you said, Prophet, absolutely true. And earlier, before you got on, I was sharing with them, as I read comments on Facebook from other people, there were people saying, that's why I don't go to church. I will never go to church, you know, because of situations like this. And let me bring this out a little closer to home. When my daughter and I were at the hospital last night visiting her fiancé, we ran into a friend of my granddaughter's, and her father is a minister. And but she was sharing, you know, that that he speaks to her in a demeaning manner and so forth. And in their conversation, she said, that's why I, because he was saying to her, you don't go to church, you're this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And she said, and you're the reason why I don't go. And the mother said, what? She said, yes, if this is a minister, I don't want to be in church. And the thing that grabbed me was not that I don't want to be in his church where he goes. I don't want to be in church. That's across the board. I don't want to be in church because I see how you act, you know. And it's sad that we as ministers of the gospel think that what we do doesn't matter. What we do or don't do. A lot of people think it doesn't matter or it's just going to affect that situation. No, it affects people nationwide. It affects people. So what happened to this young lady? It didn't just stay in their little circle. Now this thing is broadcast nationwide. And just like you said, Prophet, there were people that were sitting on the fence. Should I join or not? Should I attend church or not? Should I trust these people who say that they're godly folks? Should I trust them or who call themselves Christians? Should I trust them or not? And this incident caused a lot of people to say, nope, not for me, not going there. So it didn't just hurt what's going on in the Potter House. This thing has gone across the nation. Across the nation. So God, we have got to be there. Yes, sir.
The other thing that this should do for us is this should make us realize and wake up and take notice of how much we truly need to be seeking God's face, that we can't handle these situations on our own. And situations are going to come up, and it's going to require us making sure that we have been in touch with God and that we are seeking his face and seeking his guidance. How do I deal with this? Because they're going to come up, and we have to understand as believers that now this, just as you said, and all of us understand this, this puts all of us in a bad light. And my dad used to say years ago when I was a kid growing up, he said, the bad apple spoils it for everyone. He said, all it takes is one person doing bad, everybody else pays for it. And that is so true. And, you know, as a little kid, I didn't really understand what that meant. As I got older, I started to understand it even more. As I came into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I truly understood that. All it takes is one person doing wrong, one Christian doing something wrong, especially one pastor or one leader doing something wrong. The entire rest of the body suffers from it. And it's a shame that that's the way it is, but especially in this age that we live in where everything goes viral so fast, you can't do anything anymore without it being made public in a matter of minutes. And if you think you can, you're fooling yourself. And for an incident to happen, especially in a large ministry like the Potter's House, why they would not think that this thing would go public and not just hit the Dallas metro area, but cover the entire United States and go worldwide, they were drastically fooling themselves. And you know, it's a shame because obviously they did not truly think about what the consequences were going to be and what the repercussions are going to end up being for that church now and for the people in that church.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with this incident, this is not a sex scandal, y'all. This is not a sex scandal. This is not about the leaders of the church sleeping with everybody in the church and so forth and so on. This, the lack of communication, the lack of protocol being taken, someone putting their hands on someone. You know, these are the issues here that have come out. These are the issues. And could you imagine that the lack of communication and proper protocol could be what this church is being sued over, could be what criminal charges now have to be brought against the security guard? Thanks to God, we've got to get it together. We've got to get it together. Well, we have come down to the end of our hour. Amen. And I tell you, it has been a discussion. It's been an eye-opening. And we pray that folks will learn from this. And as I said, I do plan on having my leadership to watch the taping and for us to pull out. You know, it's hard for y'all to comment on it and you haven't seen it, but definitely Prophet understands and knows you know, about the things that we go through as far as leadership is concerned, whether you see it or not. You know, we know what you go through with leadership and how what we do affects the entire body of Christ. It does. All right. Lady Tabika, anything you want to say, darling, before we close?
No, ma'am. Just, you know, this was just an awesome show this morning. I pray that the young lady, again, she's on my heart. So I just pray that I really pray that she's able to forgive and not let this, you know, take over her heart and make her bitter towards God and people.
Amen. Amen. I stand in that same boat with you, forgiveness, that she must forgive these people. You can go ahead and do what you have to do legally, you know, but she must forgive. She must forgive them, and that this, again, will not turn her heart away from God, away from having assembling yourselves together, away from being part of a family, you know, in another church, if, you know, if need be, whatever the case may be, just don't let this take you away from what it is that God would have. And for her to also to learn the lessons for herself, how she could have handled it different. Everyone needs to look at the position that they were in, the part that they played, and take full responsibility for it, every single one of them. And what we saw was a lot of reaction that was being done instead of people responding properly. Emotions caused them to react, and react quickly, and react totally out of order. And that was a reaction. A hushed mouth, listening to Minister Kyle when he did his sermon on Sunday. Silence, friend or foe. And if somebody there had kept their mouth closed at a particular time, that whole thing would have been different. If somebody had just let somebody go, walk out of that room, that whole thing would have been different. If somebody had had sense enough to know that this is not the time to reprimand this young lady, after church, to tell her, look, I'd like to talk with you, can we set up a meeting date, whatever. Sometimes our silence is golden. Use it and use it properly. All right, beloved, we are 2 minutes past the hour. Praise be unto God. All right, we're going to leave you. We will see you back here next Saturday. God bless you, Prophet. Thank you for joining in. And Lady Prophetess Kim that spoke earlier, remember her book is There Will Be Glory After This, and you will find that on Amazon. And this is, of course, Apostle Etta Banks and
Minister Tabika Garnes.
Minister Tabika Garnes, we are here with you on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Take care and God bless. I love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.